Well, hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. It's Cheltenham Festival Week. We're in good form, we're in good spirits. Steve Palmer joins us. Steve, how are you?
I'm okay, Dave. Yeah, it was a challenging week last week, as you well know. Four tournaments, a serious test of character. The darts was a serious test of character, yeah. But yeah, it's all character building, Dave. So I'm delighted. And I've also got the camera sorted, as you'll see. I apologise to viewers. I didn't know why it was so misty in previous weeks. It just needed a clean. And so we've got a clean camera and it's all systems go.
Living in your own filth. There you go. You've cleaned it up. Well, listen, before we get to the golf, a bit greedy, mate. 2-9 darters you've witnessed there. I've been to loads of darts. I've been to loads of snooker. I've never seen a maximum. I've never seen a 9 darter. You roll up. 2 in 1 night.
Well, this is it. I managed to back 2 players that got 9 darters and lost the match. So I'm all over Luke Humphreys, gets a 9 darter against Rob Cross, then loses to Rob Cross. Then I had a significant bet on Rob Cross to beat Nathan Aspinall. Rob Cross gets a 9 darter in that match and loses that match. So, yeah, the 9 darters are for show. You know, I spoke to Luke Humphreys afterwards. I had a good chat with Luke Humphreys afterwards in Revolution Nightclub. I actually went nightclubbing.
Okay.
I went nightclubbing on Thursday night. And he said he would rather have won the night than get the 9 darter. And yeah, I felt the same way. But yeah, great entertainment. Yeah, betting ruined an otherwise wonderful night.
What's he like, Luke Humphreys? What does he drink?
Such a nice bloke. Such a nice bloke. I mean, he was drinking water. He was. You know, he's a really nice bloke. But he stayed in control. He had to go to Belgium, didn't he, for the Belgium Open at the weekend.
Why is he bothered going to Revolution?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it's good for you know, seeing the fans. I felt sorry for him having to deal with me. I was tired and emotional by that hour. It was, you know, the early hours of the morning.
I'm assuming you wasn't drinking water, Steve.
No. I got to Brighton very early, Dave. Way too early. I mean, even before the darts started, I was feeling a little bit worse for wear. So, I had a very interesting night. But, yeah, I felt sorry for Luke Humphreys having to deal with a drunkard in his ear at that hour. But,
I'm sure it's not the first time it's happened.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Darts and alcohol is a heady mix, isn't it? But yeah, great night apart.
Did you get to meet your man crush, the Nuke?
No. He wasn't in there. Is he probably still hasn't got his ID sorted out. He's only just turned 18.
I thought you might have been backstage, you know, being the face that you are, Steve, getting amongst it.
No. This was just later on. I mean, I remember telling Luke Humphreys that he's my son's favourite player. And as soon as I said it, I thought, that's a bit of a backhanded compliment. You're my son's favourite player. Because my son likes the way he throws from his eyes. You know, he's got an action where he throws from his eyes like a robot. Isn't he? And my son's captivated by that. So he is my son's favourite player. But
Does your son just tap the hockey as well with his foot when he approaches it?
Like does? It's a beautiful technique, isn't it? Luke Humphreys' best mate is a real character. Like he was the one that saw it all out, and he's a real, real character. But yeah, it's a wonderful night. I'd love to follow the dart circuit around all year. They have so much fun.
What a show that would be, Steve. You know, following the tour in the clubs afterwards with the players.
Yeah.
You'd be banged up within a month, I reckon.
Be a good Twitter account, wouldn't it? But yeah, they're very contrasting sports. My two favourite sports, golf and darts, very contrasting. You know, darts is all action and golf is a long, slow process, isn't it? And and last week, the 2-2-2-2 formation, Dave, was too ambitious, wasn't it?
Well, listen, I'll never have anyone say that you're not emotionally invested in the tipping, shall we say, because I thought I was going to have to come around and check on you at one point, mate. You was just in bits with Gotterup just cruising along. He was the one that nearly made the team.
Yeah, well, that was the problem. I got to Brighton on Thursday. The first thing I did when I arrived at Brighton, charging around betting shops, trying to find some in-running betting on the Puerto Rico Open because, Chris Gotterup, the one we were most concerned about, because the 2-2-2-2 formation was, yeah, it was a very small staking plan, wasn't it? Yeah, I just didn't want to have too many tips. But Chris Gotterup, if people don't realise, made an amazing start in the Puerto Rico Open and fortunately faltered a bit as the tournament went on. But yeah, we've got 4 tournaments to discuss, Dave.
Yeah, we'll get into all of that. Right, Steve mentioned plenty of action. This week is the week for action. It is, of course, the Cheltenham Festival Week. Listen, we're all friends here. The bookmakers want you. So this is a great time to open accounts. If you haven't got an account with some bookmakers, it's a great time to open accounts. If you jump on the Racing Post website, free bets. There is almost £3,000 worth of free bets up for grabs. All the info in this video.
Do you want over £2,000 in Cheltenham free bets? Visit racingpost.com/freebets, the ultimate hub for betting offers. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, I mentioned it's Cheltenham Festival Week and a busy time here as well on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've got you covered. Every Tuesday, we'll be here for all your golf action. The Assist on a Thursday for extra shows on this week to mark your card and give you all the steers you need. In the morning, a good morning Cheltenham. Everywhere, that'll be a live show. You'll be able to watch that. Dave Jennings and all the gang there. Listen, I'm not clued up on horse racing, but I don't know about you, Steve. I'm a massive fan of Paul Keighley. And I think if you're maybe a casual punter like myself, you could do a lot worse than just tune into Good Morning Cheltenham, get the Racing Post every day and just follow Kills.
Oh, absolutely, mate. You talk about my passion for golf better now. I'm fully invested in it all. You know, Paul Keighley is virtually a horse. You know, he wakes up, the first thing he thinks about is horses. And I mean, you know, literally his whole day is, he's obsessed with horses. So yeah, you can't follow a better man than Paul Keighley.
Yeah, so Good Morning Cheltenham. We've got In The Know throughout the week as well. So we've got you covered here on the Racing Post YouTube channel and, of course, in the paper. On Cheltenham, Steve, I mean, I've not got any clue or any view myself. I'll just follow the people that do like Kills. What about yourself? Anything for us to get stuck into?
Well, I'm being very careful this week, Dave. I mean, the darts went a little bit wrong on Thursday. The golf didn't go my way, so I have to be careful. I mean, I very rarely get involved in the horses. It is tempting, isn't it? I must say it's hugely tempting today with all these apparent hot pots. There's a few horses I've even heard of running today. so that always gets my attention. Even I'll tune in to see Constitution Hill, which is one of the greatest animals that's ever lived, by all accounts. So, I'm just trying to be careful, Dave. Gamble responsibly.
Well, listen, moderation is good. You can still enjoy it, Steve. This is a great week, just on the free bet stuff and all those free bets up for grabs. The bookmakers bend over backwards. They want your custom. This is a great week to open accounts and take full advantage of concessions. And listen, you might be able to wrangle some sort of free bet. Have your Cheltenham bet that you were just going to casually have. You might be able to have a free golf bet this week with your free bet. So get stuck in, have a little look, see what all the firms are doing to draw you in. And maybe we'll be able to have a free golf bet or two along the way this week. Exactly, Steve. Exactly. Right. Let's move on then. Let's look back before we look forward. We're going to go in chronological order because I know you're a stickler for that, Steve, which is the right thing to do as well, of course. We'll go with the livers first. Sergio Garcia, back to life.
Yeah, the livers finished first on Sunday morning. Sergio Garcia, 25-1 winner, well suited to Hong Kong Golf Club. We tipped him last year for the last year's Live Hong Kong. We tipped Wacom Neiman for last year's Live Adelaide. So all of last year's tips are winning this year, which is no good to man nor beast. Garcia, full of himself afterwards, Dave. He fancies his chances of getting on the Ryder Cup team now. I don't know if you've seen his interviews. I'm nowhere near as confident as he is that he's going to be on that team. He burned a lot of bridges when he left for Liv. You know, quite acrimonious, wasn't it? And quite nasty to a lot of people. So I don't know how he's going to build those bridges. I don't think it's worth it. If Luke Donald is watching, I don't think it's worth it. Risking team spirit to get Garcia on that side, because this is going to be the most toughest away Ryder Cup you've ever faced. You know, the American president is riling things up as well, isn't it? You know, Europe's away trip to USA is going to be tough, and you don't want to risk team spirit for that. So I beg Luke Donald not to pick him. Actually,
listen, I'm sure he doesn't care, but it just don't seem like a nice bloke to me, Sergio Garcia. I could just picture him taking his shoes off and throwing them, and just his tantrums and everything. Just not for me.
Yeah, he's your archetypal spoilt brat, I think, Dave. You know, from a very early age, it's all been in his hands. He tantrums. You're right. He has a lot of tantrums. And I don't think Luke Donald will pick him. I think Luke Donald's aware that it's important to have a really cohesive locker room at Bethpage Black.
Now, listen, we won't duck it. DJ last. And then he kind of just rules us in with a 64 on the final day as well. I mean, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, terrible start. Got tailed off. But as you say, 64 on Sunday. Only two players outscored in that day. So, yeah, a lot of people keen to write him off after two rounds and say he's gone at the game. But, I mean, he's 40 years of age. I think he's still got plenty to offer. And he's 100 to 1 this week for Live Singapore, which we'll come to. I still think there's life in DJ, and we shall see. But Patrick Reed was the one, Dave. He was floating around just outside the places all week. Going up the last hole, I needed a birdie from Patrick Reed and a bogey from Paul Casey. I got the bogey from Paul Casey, but then Patrick Reed bogeyed as well. So 10th place for Patrick Reed. I think the most interesting player, before we move on to the next one, though, Dave, is Phil Mickelson. Did you notice Phil Mickelson? Yeah. Phil Mickelson finished third. He was 500 to 1 last week for that. So he's placed at 500 to 1. And so upbeat afterwards. Talk about Garcia being full of himself. Mickelson saying he's had the best off-season ever. He's got a new strategy. You know, he was finding fairways for fun last week. He seems to think he's suddenly playing amazing golf again. And you know, we'll see how he gets on longer golf courses. He had a very unusual test last week. He's 54 years of age. You know, he used to be a standing dish at the Masters. The Masters is looming large. Are we going to get Phil Mickelson contending for the Masters again? Exciting times.
Well, I'm not sure. One swallow and all that, Steve, with Mickelson. We shall see. Right, let's move on then. Joe Berg, a Scot, doing the business here. Callum Hill, final round 62. A three-man playoff as well, but gets the job done.
Yes, Callum Hill, 70-1 winner. That's his second DP World Tour title. First one was way back in 2021. He's had a lot of injury and illness problems since then. 30-year-old Scot. So, yeah, pleased for him.
The 30-year-old Fifer.
He's a Fifer, is he? I'm pleased for the Fifer. He wasn't on my radar. Casey Jarvis, the classic roller coaster ride. You know, slow out the gates. Amazing start to the second round. I don't know if you were following it.
The quad to ruin the quad, I think someone put in the comments.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was ambitious that the quad was going to happen. But I was on the train home from Brighton, obviously worse for wear. And so pleased that Jarvis is back in contention, which he was. He was just off the pace. And then, finishes with a 7, in case anyone didn't spot it. A quadruple bogey 7 to go from contention to missed cut. And then it all came down to Hugo Casaud. Hugo Casaud was playing well all week. And on Saturday, he's in third place. I think he's the man that's going to salvage the golfing week. Makes a triple bogey at the 15th hole, Dave. So at that point, I think, right, that's me done with. I'm going to watch Gladiator 2. Have you seen Gladiator 2?
I have. Big fan of Denzel.
I apologise to the wife. I said, look, these four golf tournaments are taking over my life. I'm going to zone out for Gladiator 2. Let's settle down and watch Gladiator 2 together. So we did. The main actor in that, Dave, I don't know if you noticed, dead ringer for Hugo Casaud.
No, I didn't. That wasn't my thoughts when I was watching the film.
Was it not? Gladiator 2 virtually is Hugo Casaud. So I'm trying to get away from the golf and I'm like, God, sweet. Hugo Casaud is the Gladiator. That was a bad one.
I think you're seeing things, mate, and you're living and breathing it just constantly.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, no, look it up. Hugo Casaud plays Gladiator 2.
Right, okay. Any other takeaways from the Joburg?
No. Glad to see the back of it.
Okay, that's all right. Right, Puerto Rico then. What happened here, Steve? 26 under the winning score.
Well, yeah. I mean, Callum Hill nowhere near getting. Sergio Garcia was a bit angry with myself. Carl Phillips. Is a great talent and I've been following for a few months. So I was a little bit cheesed off. He's an 80-1 winner. I think he's a huge talent. And he started this year injured, you see. He started this year injured. He had to delay the start of his 2025 campaign. So this was just his third event of the year. So I felt it was too early for him to make the impact that he did. And he was suffering with stomach problems, Dave, last week. He had a very unstable bowel last week. We've all suffered from that occasionally. So he did really well to overcome that and make a PGA Tour breakthrough. I think he's got a massive career ahead of him. We'll be discussing Carl Phillips a lot on this podcast.
Okay, right, interesting. I'm sure a few pints in Revolutions in Brighton will give you an unstable bowel as well. So there we go. Yeah, and finally, Arnold Palmer Invitational won by Russell Henley. My old mate, Colin Morikawa, any regular viewers know, I'm a big, big fan. Listen, he don't win, does he? He's good for a place. He boarded the par train coming home, 4 pars, and that's not good enough.
Well, Colin Morikawa, yeah, it's absolute hammer blow for Colin Morikawa because, you know, he's gone 500 days without winning now. The interviewer brought it up after round three, and Colin Morikawa did not take kindly to that, to that being brought up, because, you know, it's obviously in his head. But he played well on Sunday. He looked in total control. He's three shots ahead with five holes to play. On, you know, I'm loving it. Sunday morning, I had a treble, Dave. Paid more than 13 to 1 this treble. Colin Morikawa to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Carl Phillips to win the Puerto Rico Open. Luke Littler to win the Belgium Open Darts. So Littler and Phillips did the business with ease. Yeah. You know, Morikawa, I thought, was getting the job done. And then
he's just playing not to lose. Just
playing safe golf at a difficult golf course. And that was going to work. That was going to work until Russell Henley chipped in at 16. I mean, I don't want to overly criticise Colin Morikawa, because I thought he's playing the golf that's needed here. You know, he was up against two players that are notoriously poor in contention, Russell Henley and Corey Connors. So Morikawa was doing the job. I'm loving every minute of it until the 16th hole. And then Russell Henley's chipping. I mean, it was absolutely motoring, Dave. He probably wouldn't make birdie if it misses the flagstick, that chip, but it hits the middle of the flagstick, drops, and transforms the golf tournament. Morikawa's gone from one ahead to one behind with two really tough holes ahead. I felt for Morikawa and I felt for myself.
But then going forward, you know, is that going to entice you to have him on side in the future? What are we up to? 500 days?
500 days. You think he shot 32 under par in the century at the start of the year and finished second. I mean, he didn't have much luck there, did he? I mean, Hideki Matsuyama just produced golf from the gods. So I think he has been a bit unlucky. But yeah, I do think he plays a bit defensively at times, and that causes problems. I mean, even going up that last hole, the approach was a bit safe and long, was it, when he probably needed a birdie to get in the playoff there. So he was sort of banking on Henley messing up his second shot. But yeah, maybe he plays a little bit defensively at times, but I thought it was the right policy for most of that round on Sunday. And he's going to be interesting to see how he goes in the players, because he must be frazzled by that. He must be frazzled because he played so well last week. His game's in great condition, but he's not winning anything. He's been well back for the Players' Championship, Dave.
He's right up there in the market. Yeah, I think it's gone past McIlroy with some firms.
He's threatening second favouritism. I don't like it because of that long victory drag. He's not for me.
Okay. Any other takeaways from last week?
No, sir. Let's get on. We've got Players' Championship, we've got LIV Singapore, and we've got the Cheltenham Festival. So,
okay. Right. Where do you want to start first? We're going chronological order?
Yes, we start on Thursday, Players' Championship.
Okay, the fifth major then, absolutely iconic golf course. We are off to TPC Sawgrass, Island Par 3s, the lot. It's all happening here. The 18th is brutal. This one's not going to be over until it's over, Steve, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, there's so much aqua down the stretch, and we got some wind in the forecast for the weekend, Dave. So you're absolutely right. Don't count any chickens, Dave. I don't know whether you're a chicken counter.
I'm not a counter. I might count nuggets, but not actual chickens.
You need to wait till they hatch this week, Dave, I assure you.
Okay, useful fact, if you didn't know this, the PGA Tour headquarters was at Sawgrass as well. I didn't know that, Steve.
Yeah, very much so. Spectacular practice facilities. Cameron Smith was based in Jacksonville for a long time, and that was his practice base. Then he moved to LIV, and they said you can't practice here anymore. So it was harsh on Cameron Smith.
Right, let's have a show then, because it is a stellar lineup. As I say, the fifth major. We've got Scottie Scheffler, who's as big as 11-2, generally fives in a place, most places. Colin Morikawa, as big as 14, generally 12. McIlroy, as big as 14 as well up there. Ludovic Aubert, 14s and 16s. Justin Thomas, as big as 25-1. And then it's 28 bar. A stellar lineup, as we'd expect, Steve.
Absolutely, and Pete Dye's famous stadium course, as you alluded to. It's one of the most well-known courses in the world, isn't it? Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. 7,352 yards now. We've had some extensions to three of the par fives for this year. Par 72. Punters should concentrate on the form from 2019 onwards. We switched in the calendar from May to March that year. Much lusher conditions in March. Less roll on the fairways. It plays longer, but it plays easier because the greens are so much more receptive. I think we're going to get two really good scoring days this week, Dave. Thursday and Friday. There's been lots of rain at Sawgrass over the weekend. More rain coming. So I think it's going to be a soft start, But by the weekend, it'll be drying out. And we've got that wind coming, moderate breezes for the weekend. So I think the winner will be shooting something like 65, 65, 72, 72. We've got a field of 144 going to post, and we've got the biggest pot the PGA Tour players can get their hands on, 4.5 million going to the winner this week.
Yeah, lots of cheddar up for grabs this week. Listen, I've done plenty of research just for my own benefit as well as this show. And
like it.
When you're looking at winners, recent winners of this event, they all seem to be coming into it in good form, Steve. This is not a place you're going to come to and just find your game.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the honours ball recently, obviously some creme de la creme. You know, your quality players have been winning this, and I think we're going to get another quality winner this week.
Okay, right. How many are in the team?
Four, right.
Four in the team. And the main selection is...
Oh, I've just dropped some water on the computer. Scotty Scheffler. 5-1. Easy to back. A general 5-1. The time has come to support the world number one. He was a hero for us on numerous occasions last year, Dave. We haven't backed him at all this year. We needed to give him time to get his act together after those hand issues. Hand surgery. Didn't return until the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So a delayed start to 2025. One or two departments of his game have been letting him down in the four tournaments he's had since he's come back. Driving was loose when he first came out. Then we had errant approach shots, some clumsy chipping. It's taken him four tournaments to get those rough edges off, I feel. And last week was the most encouraging performance of the lot. I'm sure you'll agree. The ball striking last week, Dave, I don't know how much you watched of the Arnold Palmer. He was superb from tee to green, particularly off the tee. His driving was absolutely spot on. And his success at Sawgrass over the last 2 years has been built on a foundation of strong driving. I think he's got his driver right where he needs it for a Players' Championship hat-trick. He's going for the Players' Championship hat-trick this week. His Sawgrass record is even better than it looks for me, because his debut in 2020, Dave, that edition was expunged from the record books, you might remember, because COVID-19, it was the eve before COVID-19 really took the world by storm. And Scheffler carded a 68 on the one round we got. We got one round that year. He carded a 68. So he's in seventh place before they cancelled the tournament. You know, solid start to his Sawgrass career. Missed the cut by a shot in 2021. Remember, he was 30th in the world rankings back then, PGA Tour maiden. 55th place in 2022. Some may turn their nose up at that, but that was a great effort. There was a huge draw by us in 2022. And Scheffler was on the wrong side of it. So making the cut was a good effort in those conditions. And then we've had that 2 year spell of dominance from him. 2023, he won by five shots, Dave, despite finishing 48th in the putting stats. You know, get your head round that, Dave. I'll give you a second to get your head round that. Is it rounded?
Just about, yeah.
I mean, it shows you how amazing he played from tee to green that week, to win by five, putting poorly. And last year's win, we were on him last year. You must remember how amazing that is, because he could hardly move his neck for the best part of two rounds. You remember, he got injured early. The neck seized up early in round two. So he was essentially lame for 2 days. Could hardly get the club back. He had to play sort of defensively. So he battles through rounds two and three, and then he felt better on Sunday. His neck loosened up on the Sunday. Closed with a 64 to retain the title. So even with the handicap of an essentially broken neck day for 2 days last year, he won the tournament. So I'm thrilled to be able to easily access 5-1 Scheffler this week. I think last week you should take the positives. All this talk of the poor putting means he's drifting. I don't know if you've noticed, Dave. He's actually drifting in the market, and he's becoming an each way bet, which is wonderful. The only department of the game which went wrong last week was the putting. He was 49th in the putting stats last week. We all know Scheffler can have cold spells with a putter. Doesn't stop him winning tournaments. If he puts average, he tends to win. And I think the key point from last week is the ball striking is right back where he needs it. I would ignore the poor putting stats, because those greens were baked out. Scheffler said it himself. He like, yeah, the greens were dead. Like he's not had a dent to putting confidence there. I think it's all systems go for Scheffler this week.
Okay. A strong case made for the chef to cook up a hat trick at Sawgrass. Right, we've got four in the team then. So who's the next best?
We've got four in the team. There's some excellent each way terms out there. So I would advise each way bets on all of them. I know each way bet at 5-1 is not everyone's cup of tea, but I have noticed you can get 17-4 with 12 each way places on Scheffler. And, he finished 11th last week putting poorly. Is he going to finish outside the top 12 this week? I find it very difficult to see that. But the next best and the main threat to Scheffler is Ludwig Auber. 18-1 Ludwig Auber, who has had just one bad round this year as a healthy golfer, Dave. Saturday 77 at Bay Hill. I don't know how you were following the 77 on Saturday. Hugely distressing for all concerned. But, he's banging contention after six holes of that round. Six holes into round three, he's looking a danger to the leaders. Then there was an hour of mayhem. He dropped seven shots in six holes, Dave. Carded a triple bogey at the eighth. Twice found water on that hole. So aside from those six holes, it was the same Ludwig Auber we've been enjoying so much this year. If he played those six holes in level par, he finishes the tournament in fifth place. He actually finished in 22nd place, Dave, but I think he left Bay Hill last week with his confidence levels exactly the same as when he entered Bay Hill, because his Sunday performance was exceptionally good. He made seven birdies on Sunday, Dave, closed with a 68. So Auber remains in fine fettle. And this week he's playing a home game, Dave. I think we mentioned it last week. He moved to Pontevedra Beach in November. He's on his home track this week. He knows the course really well. He finished eighth on his Players' Championship debut last year, 67-67 at the weekend. So, yeah, I think it's a duel between the Chef and the Auber.
Okay, right. Yeah, he's definitely an each-way play at the sort of prices available. As big as 18 out there if you shop around. But as Steve said, try and snaffle as many each-way places as you can for these selections. Yeah. Right, next one.
Sepp Straka, 40-1 Sepp Straka, the FedEx Cup leader. That probably surprised you there, Dave, but it speaks volumes
It's a bit early for all that kind of chat,
It's a bit early, but it shows how well Sepp Straka's been playing. He leads the FedEx Cup. He won the American Express, you'll remember, in January. He was seventh in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He was under the weather at the weekend. He faded at the weekend in that event when not feeling very well. I think that illness leaked into the Phoenix Open because he started poorly in the Phoenix Open, finished strongly, closed with a 66 for 15th place. And on the Florida swing, he's been looking exceptionally good. 11th in the Cognizant Classic, fifth last week at Bay Hill, despite opening with a 77, Dave. He was incredible over the final three rounds. Nobody outscored Straka over the final three rounds last week, Dave. His iron play was superb. His putter was purring. This is a 31-year-old at the peak of his powers. Ryder Cup debut in 2023, you remember. And he's just grown in confidence since then. Three-time PGA Tour champion. I could see Sawgrass stage in the fourth. Like Scheffler, Straka played in that 2020 edition. The 2020 edition, which was expunged from the record books. Straka shot 69 before it was expunged from the record books. So he was in 22nd place after one round. In 2022... This was an incredible performance in 2022. He finished ninth from the wrong side of the draw bar. So it was a huge draw bar. He had great conditions for one half of the draw. The other half of the draw out in a gale. He finished ninth despite being on the wrong side. So, really like Straka for this track. He was 16th last year despite finishing 58th in the putting stats. So tee to green, Straka's got a real handle on Sawgrass. His maiden PGA Tour title came in Florida in the Honda Classic. So loves the Sunshine State.
Good case made for Straka there. His putter's purring. He's at the peaks of his powers. His palmer's pick.
What a tongue twister. It's all there
for you. Right, one more then. I hope we're going to get a whopper of a price here, Steve. What you got for us?
We are going to get a whopper of a price. And he opened up 300-1. I think there's still some 250-1 available. Easy to back at 200-1. Obviously, get as many places as you can. We've already mentioned him, Dave. It's Carl Phillips. Carl Phillips, who is right in the crest of a wave. I love this player. He had his Korn Ferry Tour rookie campaign last year. Form figures of 13-15-2-1 from his first four starts on the Korn Ferry Tour. So it took him four tournaments to open his account on the Korn Ferry Tour. Now he's become a PGA Tour member. This is a 28-year-old making rapid career strides. Tiger Woods thinks he's a superstar, Dave. Tiger Woods signed Philip as the brand ambassador for his clothing range, you know, Sunday Red. Tiger Woods could have signed anyone he wants to wear that. And he signed Carl Phillips because he lives down the road from him and he knows how good he's going to become. So I agree with Tiger Woods that Phillips is pure class. And, and last week's Puerto Rico Open win could be the start of something special because, you know, that was his fourth tournament as a PGA Tour member day. So he took him four starts on the Korn Ferry Tour, four starts on the PGA Tour, and he's won. This boy makes things happen quickly. And he's a debutant this week, Dave. So you might think debutant's terrible record at Sawgrass. You'd be absolutely right to make that point. But he has played in six junior players' championships at Sawgrass. And he's never finished outside the top 10. So a great record in the junior players' championship at Sawgrass. And where does he live, Dave? I gave you a little clue there saying he lives down the road in Tiger Woods. But I won't, the producer told us to be quick today because it's all about the Fezzy. So I'll stop doing questions like that. I'll answer my own questions.
Well, he doesn't live in John O'Groats. I know that much.
He doesn't live in Romford. He lives in Jacksonville, Dave. He lives in Jacksonville. Sawgrass is his practice base. So he's turning up with all that knowledge from the Junior Players Championship. He's also got recent knowledge. He said in his Puerto Rico Open media conference, he played at Sawgrass 3 weeks ago. So loaded with practice at Sawgrass. He's not your typical debutant. I remember Cameron Smith. We were on Cameron Smith when he won the Players' Championship. He lived in Jacksonville and knew the course well. I think Phillips is going to put that local knowledge to good use. So I was heartbroken to miss out last week in Puerto Rico. I thought it was too early in the year given his injury problems, but he's over that illness. He's over his injuries. He's ready for a bold debut at a massive price.
Well, this is the sort of player that we can get behind to make the cut. Top 40, top 20, top 10, top 5, the whole lot. What price did you say it was, Steve?
He's easy to back at 200 to 1. There's still some 250s out there. The Shrewdies have taken the 300s. Quality player who knows the course well. And, I'm really excited to see how he gets on. He finished 39th in the Cognizant Classic. So don't think, Puerto Rico Open, obviously a low-grade event. He mixed it in the Cognizant Classic the week prior. Good top 40 bet this week, Dave, if you want to be less ambitious than me.
I like it. Well, he's in with the big boys this week. Let's have a look at the other player. We've mentioned Morikawa lots. He's second in. What about Rory, Steve? Was he not on the radar?
Well, he just got himself in a muddle. I mean, I was heartbroken as a Rory McIlroy fan generally. But what he did last week, and he put loads of new clubs in the bag last week. He's made a spectacular start to the year. You know, his ball striking has been amazing this year. And then he put two new woods in the bag. He reconfigured all his wedges. I saw his media conference before Bay Hill and he was talking about the spin of his golf ball. So he made all these decisions to put some new clubs in the bag, the latest clubs that have just been issued. But it's a massive blunder because, it didn't go well for 3 days. And then he put all his old stuff in the bag on Sunday. So he's going to be playing with his old clubs again this week, but I just think that was a really unsettling week. With the Masters, a month away, I couldn't believe he did it. I mean, all these manufacturers want their players to try all the new stuff. But McIlroy, is rich enough to resist it. I think he should have just said, look, after the Masters, I might have a look at it. But I'm not fiddling until then. So I think
he's in a good space. He's had a good year. He's in good shape coming into these big events that are on the horizon. And as you say, he's kind of head in hands for people that have backed him, like myself. To be tinkering around and messing about.
Yeah, absolutely. He's never started a season better in my eyes. And I thought it was an absolutely crazy move. And you could see how angry he was with himself. I may need a few weeks to get going again.
Right. Anyone else to mention? Justin Thomas, Tommy Fleetwood. What about your man, Xander Schauffele?
Well, Xander Schauffele, of course, came back from injury last week, battled through to make the cut. He's on this amazing sequence of nobody's made more cuts in a row as an active player than Xander. Maybe this week he'll come under strain. Making the cut this week might be challenging. Had a near miss last week, but his record at Sawgrass is not particularly good. I can't go near him. He needs more reps. Scotty Scheffler, I feel, has got all that post-injury rough edges out of his system. I think Scheffler's going to peak this week. Schauffele, probably further down the line. You know, maybe we won't see him at his best until the Open Championship.
Yeah, big pot of money up for grabs here, though, which usually means the big game players, the big time players like your Scotty Schefflers, your Rory McIlroys, they all come to the fore here. Steve, I think this is going to be an absolute joy to watch over the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrific tournament. And you mentioned Justin Thomas. I know you've been tempted by him all year. I was tempted this week. Obviously, former champion. It wasn't long ago that he won this. He'd be on the radar. But for me, there's two outstanding candidates for success. Each way bets on both of them. And then Strecker and Phillips are at slightly bigger prices.
I like it. Good approach. Right, shall we move on then to the livers?
Yes, sir.
We are off to Singapore. Here, Steve, what do we know about the course?
Yes, the Serapong course, Sentosa Golf Club, Sentosa Island, Singapore. 7,406 yards, par 71, three par fives. Hosted the Singapore Open on the DP World Tour from 2005 through 2022. Then we had the inaugural Live Singapore in 2023. Lots of water, heavy bunkering, strong ball striking, the key to success. Hot, humid, sticky, generally windless skies. A field of 54 going to post, three rounds, no cut, shotgun start, 1:15 a.m. on Friday morning, Thursday night for you, Dave. Live on ITV4 and Live Golf Plus app.
Marvellous. Right, the show, John Rahm 7-1, Neiman 17-2, Tyrrell Hatton 9s, Bryson DeChambeau 14s, around about those prices. I think they're the very best available in the village. But do shop around. How many are we going with the livers this week, Steve?
Just two, Dave.
Just two, right? Four and a two. Okay, that's cool. And the main selection is
Wakeham Neiman. 8-1 Wakeham Neiman, who started the year in tremendous fashion. He opened up with third place in an Asian tour event in India at the start of February. He won Live Adelaide a couple of weeks later. Last week, he finished 12th in Live Hong Kong. Clearly one of the best players on the Live circuit. We all know that. But he's young, hungry, driven. Lots of talk about some of the older players pining for the PGA Tour. The Brooks Koepka rumours continue. Bryson DeChambeau rumours. But yeah, Wakeham Neiman, happy just building an enormous bank balance on Live. I think he wins his second Live title of the year and his fourth Live title in total on Sunday. He's become a regular visit to Asia in recent years, Dave, chasing world ranking points. You know, the Live guys don't get world ranking points on the Live circuit. If they want to maintain a decent world ranking, they need to do some jet setting. Neiman has been more than happy to do that. He won the Saudi International on the Asian Tour at the end of last year. He won Live Jeddah last year, you'll remember. All of his Live wins have come outside of America. He travels really well, this lad. He finished the inaugural Live Singapore with a wet sail, Dave, to use greyhound racing parlance. 10 under par for the weekend to finish 10th that year. And then last year, he finished 7th. So I see those progressive Live Singapore form figures continuing with a W on Sunday. I think it's worth noting, Dave, finally, last week before Live Hong Kong, in a practice round, I found out that he covered the front nine in a practice round in 7 under par, 27 shots for the front nine. So he's clearly in possession of his A game at the moment, Dave. And I think he's the pick of those market leaders.
Good signs. Good signs then for Neiman. Brilliant player. Lovely player to watch as well. How old is he, Steve?
Oh, he's one of the younger elite, isn't he? As you say, the market is always the same. You always criticise the market makers for just getting last week's Live event and putting it up again, but he's the youngest of those elites. Sort of late 20s now, isn't he?
Still a baby. Right, he is the main pick. Who else do we like?
Next best is David Pooge. Sweet spot regular, 22-1 this week. I'm pretty confident that David Pooge will win a maiden Live title this year. He's got all the tools, world-class player, powerful, confident, composed. Part of a winning team last week, Dave. The Fireballs won in Hong Kong last week. Obviously, Garcia, the captain of the Fireballs. So, Pooge has been banking loads of money on the Live circuit. I think an individual win's coming soon. He started on the Live circuit. He played in the very first event that Live ever had. Just went from amateur ranks, you know, really, really good amateur, and then straight into Live game as a pro. And he's just been improving every year. He's only 23. The world's his oyster. Like Neiman, happy to chase those world ranking points on the Asian Tour. Pooge is only six places behind Neiman in the world rankings. And yeah, he plays DP World Tour as well, does Pooj. Form figures of 3.13.8 on the Asian Tour in 2022. Then he won an Asian Tour event in Singapore, Dave, in 2023. That was a five-shot victory, Tanamera Country Club. Similar conditions this week. You know, it's hot, sticky conditions that Singapore is famous for. He won the Malaysian Open on the Asian Tour last year. So two Asian Tour wins for Pooj. Every time he tees up in Asia, he seems to contend. His DP World Tour form figures are 3.4.12.3.4. His LIV Golf form figures this year are 6.4.18. All his six rounds at Sentosa, this week's venue, have been at par or better in LIV Singapore. So, yeah, everything points to a bold performance from David Pooj.
I like it. Players that travel well, should we say. And yeah. Listen, there'd be a few. There has to be. I don't care how much they're being paid. We'll be pining for the PGA this week. Looking in on the Players' Championship, Sawgrass, all that. You know, yeah. And then they're out in Singapore. You know, Steve, it could be a factor.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the rumour mill has been rife. Brooks Koepka apparently wants to come back. But, yeah, these are all unofficial sources. So we'll see. But I think the two youngsters I'm on this week, they'll have their head down. They won't be worrying about the PGA Tour, particularly Pooj. You know, he's really focused on developing. Yeah, you know, they all want to bank a big check, don't they? We're talking about
get Patrick the readies. Get the readies. Crack on and get the readies.
Well, with all this talk about the PGA Tour and LIV coming back together, I mean, the ones that haven't won that $4 million check on for winning a LIV event, they all want to get one before that happens, really. If LIV disappears and you spent all your time on the LIV circuit and you didn't bank one of those checks, like Patrick Reed would be fuming if he has to go back to the PGA Tour without having banked one of those $4 million checks. So I think, yeah.
Now listen, I'm sure there's still a few quid sitting in his bank account, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Now, how much money do you need, Dave? You give me £1 million and that'd do me.
Right. A four and a two then. Eight each-way doubles if you want to get involved like that. Steve, give us a round-up at the tip of this week then.
We've only got 195 opponents. Only 195 opponents this week, Dave. Remember last week we were a little bit concerned. We had like 406, wherever it was. We only got 195.
The numbers are in our favour.
Yeah, I think it's easy peasy this week with only 195 opponents. Players' Championship. Scotty Scheffler, Ludwig Aubert, Sepp Straka, and Carl Phillips.
And then the livers.
Wacom Neiman, David Pooj, or David Puig, if you're trying to find him on the betting market there.
And what was the Cheltenham nap from Steve Palmer? Did you have one? Did we get one out of you, anything?
The Cheltenham nap, yes, yes. There's this horse I've heard that's been catching pigeons on the gallops.
Dogs are barking and all that nonsense.
Yeah, he's come in his coat. He came in his coat the other day and he's catching pigeons on the gallops. It's called Constitution Hill. Oh, yeah. Whisper it quietly. I've heard really good things about this one. It's one of the fastest horses they've ever seen by all accounts.
Win double with the chef.
Win double. But by the time this comes out, Constitution Hill might not have won. So, my nap for later in the week, I don't know. Florida Pearl's not running up. No. Count me out.
Listen, there's plenty of shows. If you're watching us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel, let us know your thoughts on the golf this week. You can stick your Cheltenham views in there as well. Maybe myself and Steve might follow you in. Yes. Or you can get clued up yourself. You can be in the know. Good morning, Cheltenham. All the shows are across our YouTube channel. And get the Racing Post every day. And of course, snaffle yourself a few free bets. Up to £3,000 worth of free bets up for grabs. RacingPost.com/free bets. Get armed, get clued up for Cheltenham. And then hopefully we can nick a few quid on the golf as well. Steve, as ever, it's been a pleasure. A little bit slower pace this week, just the two tournaments. We'll be able to take it all in.
Yeah, I'm pleased there's only two, Dave. Yeah, four is too many.
Are you going to watch it live?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Yeah, I watched everything. You know, I watch Singapore stuff as well. The dance on Thursday night is a terrible way to start your golfing week, and then four tournaments. Yeah, I was drained last week, but two tournaments this week, and yeah, very very excited to get back on track.
Good stuff. Right, do remember to enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.